making TV special.
Made with creamy butter.
And you know what that means?
It's happening. I can feel it.
Yep.
Virtual 3, we simulate you.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the B-Side episode 196 from MediaMonarchy.com. That was music from Robert Mirabal, last name M-I-R-A-B-A-L. The track was called Cyberspace Warrior, going all the way back to 1997, and thanks to my man Gene for sending that track my way and for all the other news tips that he sends my way via MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. Yes, it's December 3rd, 2010, and my name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, coming to you from the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org, early on this Friday morning before our big episode 197. And what we do here for you, as we have been doing for the last several weeks and months, we use the B-Sides to cover all the other sister site, other related alternative media. And that's what we're going to do here from foodworldorder.com and cyberspacewar.com. However, we always like to keep Google News open to see what's happening. And we see this morning, according to just about an hour ago, sources tell ABC News that the Obamasiyah has made a surprise visit to Afghanistan. Of course, as fallout continues from the release of WikiLeaks reports that documented rampant bribery in Afghan, Iraq, and beyond. And of course, we'll get a little bit into the latest WikiLeaks data dump on the upcoming episode 197. But we're going to start with cyberspacewar.com. And again, as I've been saying, time and time again, that it's a huge thanks to my man Alan in Omaha for posting so much to cyberspacewar.com. And we'll start it off with the aforementioned WikiLeaks to kind of whet your appetite. Cyber COINTELPRO. Wayne Mattson reports Asian intelligence sources feel strongly WikiLeaks is linked to U.S. computer espionage operations. WikiLeaks cries persecution by U.S. intelligence when it is intelligence itself, according to Mattson's sources. Mattson writes in the article, CIA, Mossad, and Soros behind WikiLeaks. His sources also view WikiLeaks as part and parcel of a cyber COINTELPRO campaign, as proposed by Obama's information czar, Cass Sunstein. The article provides a detailed history of WikiLeaks for making the CIA unhappy by diverting too many funds to the Mossad and its move to Iceland, and how it's believed George Soros is behind it. And there's more in there for you to read about Soros and Sunstein and COINTELPRO and the aforementioned article, CIA, Mossad, and Soros behind WikiLeaks. There's definitely something behind WikiLeaks. And on our latest episode of NewWorldNextWeek.com, back from our two-week hiatus, back with guns blazing, this next article we cover. Government seizes domains alleged to infringe copyright. The U.S. government shut down several sites apparently suspected of either linking to or providing access to copyrighted materials. This relates to BitTorrenting and all sorts of other things, like NFLJerseySupply.com. So, ICE, the Immigration Customs Enforcement and Homeland Security, breaking all this out, seemingly unrelated to COICA, C-O-I-C-A, the act that's winding its way through the Senate that we discussed last week, that perhaps our own Ron Wyden from Oregon may have put a stop to it. But we asked the question on NewWorldNextWeek.com, why hasn't the government seized the domain name WikiLeaks.org? They were connected to ICANN, I-C-A-N-N, the big daddy of web domains, on this recent seizure spree. These are all questions I don't have the answers to. I can't tell you what's a front and what isn't. We just try and bring you as much information as possible so we can make better decisions and more informed decisions about what is going down. So you can get more on that question of Why haven't they done this to WikiLeaks from thedomains.com, and the related story from Think, UK police to get major new powers to seize domains as well as everyone gets into the act. There's been interesting goings-on with the banks. Of course, we started cyberspacewar.com to cover what we imagine has been the preparation for what we've coined as a punch in the Facebook, a massive I-9-11 event that would be catastrophic and catalyzing. Bank blames human error for outage. National Australia Bank NAB spokesman George Wright would not provide technical description of bank's computer difficulties in Australia Int article from the Australian.com.au. Wright denied rumors of a botched mainframe upgrade, hackers, or virus as the reason for the glitch. NAB does batch processing for other banks and delivers files daily. On Thursday morning, that would be past Thursday morning, November 25th, IT departments at financial institutions such as Commonwealth Bank, Westpac, ANZ, HSBC, Citibank, and Bank of Queensland went on high alert when they did not receive the files. It's one of Australia's biggest bungles. NAB is placing the blame on human error as, quote, someone from NAB's IT department who had access to the system inadvertently uploaded a file that corrupted the system. Many NAB bank customers were caught without cash as salaries did not make it into their bank accounts. Interesting to note. And again, this is what we would see with a massive I-9-11 event that would affect your smartphones and your ATMs that would literally make people flip out. A quick update to this story. Chris Gruthoff, an IT professional, believes somebody hacked NAB, as reported by CanberraTimes.com.au. Quote, we know that there are all sorts of requirements for special systems like banking systems that have very many precautions and safeguards built into those systems and the ability to recover from a failure within a few minutes, basically. I think they're pulling the wool over our eyes by saying it's just a cyber glitch. Or rather, a computer glitch, end quote. Is this cyber warfare? And again, we return to Stuxnet, the virus that wouldn't go away. A frontpagemag.com article post may provide the best description of havoc wreaked by the Stuxnet computer worm, introduced most likely by a flash drive hopped computers at Iran's uranium enrichment facility at Natanz until it reached its target. The computer worm then went to work by targeting the programmable logic controller, PLC, that controls thousands of centrifuges at the facility. Operators were surely puzzled, for their control panels told them everything was running normally, but centrifuge after centrifuge was being wrecked by the severe change in rotation speed. The result, many experts believe, is that thousands of the centrifuges were damaged over the course of the year. End quote. And it's widely believed only a rich nation could have provided the resources for a computer worm of Stuxnet's sophistication. Ralph Langer, computer security expert, compares it to the arrival of an F-35 into a World War I battlefield. So the scary thought is, now that the code is public, where will it turn up next? VigilantCitizen.com points out the symbolism right before our eyes yet again. It's been on the dollar bill for how long? Official badges and insignias of the NROL-32 mission launched last week scream Illuminati symbolism. And again, more on this from VigilantCitizen.com as we're blasting through all the updates on CyberspaceWar.com. We again return to the EMP threat, as I suppose we find with all the sites, whether that's media or food or cyber. There are a ton of stories to cover, but they come back to a few central core issues. And the EMP threat is one of those central core issues on cyberspacewar.com. EMP threat, fact, fiction, and response, an article by Youssef Boot at thespacereview.com, examines the threat of a catastrophic electromagnetic pulse writer finds in recent years. This attention, of course, noteworthy. Report of the Commission to Assess the Threat to the United States from EMP was published in 2004. We've also covered the U.S. series of tests called Starfish Prime and the Russian series, which included Test 184. Fascinating things going on right over our very heads, my friends. The EMP threat, indeed. That, again, would be a massive punch to the Facebook. Gary McKinnon, a cyber cult hero who hacked into the Pentagon years ago, is nearing the end of his appeals to prevent his extradition from the UK. The U.S. military wants to make McKinnon an anti-hacking poster boy, as Gary himself summarizes it. Quote, every one of us has at one time or another fantasized about staying up all night smoking weed and hacking into top-secret U.S. government computers, end quote, as Jeffrey Wansell writes in a recent OurStrangeWorld.com article called The UFO Hacker's Last Stand. You gotta like the style. McKinnon is perhaps even an anti-hero raging against the system. The UFO hacker's extradition at last check is on hold due to a review of McKinnon's medical condition, Asperger's syndrome. What did he see? Lists of non-terrestrial ships and crew members, also materials on free energy. Should also be noted that Gary McKinnon is a 9/11 truther. NASA called for a press conference this past Thursday, making reference to astrobiology finding and search for extraterrestrial life. DailyGalaxy.com speculated on what this was going to be. Was this going to be life on Saturn's moon Titan? We'll let you know in just a few minutes with the update. But we also want to mention where we'll see you, and of course that'd be on the dark side of the moon, 2016. Lockheed Martin engineers want to send astronauts into stationary orbit above the dark side of the moon, according to the Daily Mail. The orbit attained with a combined gravity of the Earth and Moon at the second Lagrange point makes it possible. Are we going back to the moon? You could even ask the question, did we ever go in the first place? But that's not something we're going to get into right here and now. We also want to make a note about Sumerians and the Anunnaki because, as we have not mentioned on any of our shows, the late Zechariah Sitchin, who passed away a few months ago. His work includes 13 books on ancient astronauts, was featured in the short 1999 film Lost Archives, Genesis Revisited. It's a nice starting point for those interested in alternative theories of human origins, which threatens current creation dogma, a rather compelling reframing of human history. Sitchin established his theory from the gleanings of cylindrical seals from ancient Sumeria. May you live in interesting times. Now, our last piece on cyberspacewar.com will be the 12-2 DEF CON. That's the list of headlines posted up yesterday, December 2nd, under fingerprints, arsenic, and oxygen. And we'll start it with one from Threat Level. Feds warrantlessly tracking Americans' credit cards in real time. Federal law enforcement agencies have been tracking Americans in real time using credit cards, loyalty cards, and travel registrations without getting a court order, a new document released under a government sunshine request shows. The document, obtained by security researcher Christopher Sagoyan, and you can get that over at paranoia.dubfire.net, explains how so-called hot watch orders allow for real-time tracking of individuals in criminal investigation via credit card companies, rental car agencies, calling cards, and even grocery store loyalty programs. The revelation sheds a little more light on the Justice Department's increasing power and willingness to surveil Americans with little to no judicial or congressional oversight. For credit cards, agents can get real-time information on persons' purchases by writing their own subpoena, followed up by an order from a judge that the surveillance not be disclosed. Agents can also go the traditional route, going to a judge, proving probable cause, and getting a search warrant for all that pesky garbage, which means the target will eventually be notified that they were spied on. You can get this whole document thanks to Scribd. And again, you can learn about closed-end systems and open-end systems and HotWatch. Google admits Street View trespassing, and they have been hit with a crippling fine of $1. More on that from PCWorld.com. Wall Street Journal reporting the race is on to fingerprint phones and PCs. It is a massive piece with a lot of supplemental extra information that, again, should not be a surprise. That's essentially the way a lot of this is going down. We're not being thrown down with our arms twisted to give up our name, rank, and serial number. We're willingly giving it all away, and it's with the carrot and stick of wonderful technology. Xbox modding case dismissed mid-trial. Again, Threat Level was tracking this case very closely. That's an interesting one and would have been a precedent-setting type of case. Jailbreaking and hacking and modding. These things... really, a lot of these things remind me of some of the shows and films I've been watching over the last couple days, such as the original Max Headroom American television series that they just put out in a not-so-special DVD edition. And a film called Code 46. Sort of like a Eternal Sunshine, Blade Runner, Brave New World dystopia. Who will win the battle for the control of the web? That's pcpro.co.uk, and they're essentially pitching it as the battle between Google, Apple, Facebook, and Microsoft, I believe. Interesting from Yahoo, their most popular search in 2010 was BP oil spill. The first time a news story has actually been Yahoo's most searched term for a year. And yes, of course, BP oil spill surrounded by Bieber and Gaga and Britney and all the regular tabloid garbage. But I'd like to think that's an important note. NASA, of course, created a buzz with their announcement they were going to do a press conference with their little ETTs. And the big announcement, which we'll take again from PCMag.com, NASA finds new arsenic-fed life form. Their announcement Thursday afternoon has shown that alien life might have been under scientists' noses all along. A press conference with a team of researchers revealed that alien life forms could exist in drastically different forms than previously thought. 2 years of study at Mono Lake near Yosemite National Park in California. Yes, we have found alien life, and of course it's in California. Actually, it's yielded a type of bacteria that thrives on the toxic chemical arsenic. The elements necessary to support life on Earth are carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, phosphorus, and sulfur. However, this discovery refutes the previously accepted idea that extraterrestrial life forms would be made out of the same DNA building blocks. Along with that, from The Guardian, oxygen detected on Saturn's moon, Rhea, that's R-H-E-A. And a funny one to close out the cyberspace war, DEF CON, fingerprints, arsenic, and oxygen. UFOs welcome in Hooper, Colorado. Of course, making fun of folks. But it's a whole article about how a town is open and waiting and inviting E.T. We'll shift gears and get the latest from my other sister site, foodworldorder.com, and we'll start it with an article from foodsafetynews.com. Pardon my cold. We'd also like to reiterate the call for someone to help post stories to foodworldorder.com. If you've got some blogging experience and you are passionate about food issues, send me an email, mediamonarchy@gmail.com. But again, from foodsafetynews.com, White House to serve 2,000 pounds of Gulf seafood over the holidays. The White House announced Wednesday, December 1st, it shipped about 2,000 pounds of shrimp and crabs from the Gulf to serve at this year's holidays party. or rather holiday parties, a big gesture aimed at boosting consumer confidence in regional seafood in the wake of the devastating BP Deepwater Horizon oil spill. Quote, since day one, and we give you the flashback linked to day one on MediaMonarchy.com, of course, beginning on April 20th, 2010. Since day one, the FDA and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, have been working with other federal agencies and state officials to closely monitor seafood in the Gulf and ensure that the seafood makes it to your grocery store or restaurant is safe to eat, wrote White House Executive Chef Chris Comerford on the White House blog. In September, the aforementioned Comerford and Hamburg traveled to the Gulf to talk seafood safety. In August, the first family vacationed in the Gulf and dined on local seafood to help promote both tourism and seafood. The White House also hosted reigning Super Bowl champs, the New Orleans Saints, to honor their win and tout the safety and deliciousness of Gulf seafood. And just see some scenario in my head out of Airplane where everybody ate the Gulf seafood. A more serious story from the Washington Post, centered in the District of Criminals. CDC admits D.C. water may still be contaminated, and even the head of the D.C. water says the new CDC report is not new news. The water in almost 15,000 D.C. homes that were repaired during a massive effort to remove lead pipes may still be contaminated by dangerous levels of the metal, according to a report released December 1st by the CDC. If residences are home to small children, pregnant women, or anyone with a compromised immune system, the water should be tested, said George Hawkins, general manager of D.C. Water, the same one that said this is not new news. And we do have the links. You can download the whole PDF of the CDC report. The findings are a sharp reversal by the Federal Health Agency, which initially claimed that they found no evidence that spikes in the level of lead in the water had harmed D.C. residents. A congressional inquiry concluded in May that the CDC knowingly used false data in making a, quote-unquote, scientifically indefensible claim that the water was safe to drink. The report marks the first time the CDC has publicly acknowledged that there was a measurable health risk from the city's lead crisis and that the primary remedy appears to have been flawed. Doesn't this sound familiar? The water safe to drink. The air safe to breathe. The Gulf seafood is safe to eat. But here we have it, the CDC and the head of DC Water admitting DC Water still contaminated. We've covered the Water Wars story quite extensively on Food World Order since its inception. But our last story is still ongoing and getting stranger by the day. And this is another one that we covered on the latest episode of NewWorldNextWeek.com with my man James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. Despite massive protests, Senate passes food safety bill, and this is from naturalnews.com. The new Food Tyranny Act, called the Food Safety Modernization Act in the U.S. Senate, was passed. It would give the FDA vast new powers to criminalize and imprison farmers and food producers while doing absolutely nothing to address the real root of the food contamination problem. That would be the factory farms and, of course, the Monsantos and the eugenics agenda that underlies it all. You can see the roll call, and of course, no Democrat opposed the bill, but the interesting update surrounding this, snafu could stall food safety bill, and this comes 2 days ago from the Associated Press. Food safety legislation that passed the Senate by a commanding margin is now threatened by a procedural snafu that could give Republicans the opportunity to block it. The largely bipartisan Senate bill appeared to be headed for quick passage in the House, which would have sent it to Obama's desk. But House Democrats said Wednesday that it contains fees that are considered tax provisions, which under congressional rules are supposed to originate in the House. House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer, Democrat of Maryland, chided the Senate for making the mistake and said the House is trying to find a way to resolve the issue in the few remaining days of the congressional session. So what it's looking like, possibly, is that some clerical error snafu could halt this food safety bill. And again, we need to get back on the phones, call our reps, call our senators. It's very easy. It's very satisfying. Natural News has an update on the top 10 lies about Senate Bill 510, the Food Safety Modernization Act. But the fascinating clip, it's very quick, comes from the floor of the Senate where a hapless senator admits the obvious, it's all rigged.
There's nothing about it because it's all rigged. I mean, the whole conversation is rigged. The conversation, the fact that we don't get to a discussion before the break about what we're going to do on the lame duck is just rigged. This stuff's rigged.
Colorado Democrat Senator Michael Bennett made the mistake of admitting what many of us already know. The political process in the District of Criminals is a rigged game. That's the latest I have for you on Senate Bill 510, the Food Safety Modernization Act, as it is euphemistically known as. But again, it will tell you to put the calls out. It can possibly make a difference. And again, as we say on the end of the latest NewWorldNextWeek.com episode, growing your own food may very well become and is quickly becoming the most revolutionary act you can take. That's going to do it for this B-side episode 196 from Media Monarchy. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com. We're going to go out with a little bit of Night Food from the Rudies. A fantastic cut from all the amazing Trojan Records collections. And again, I'll tell you, stay tuned for the massive upcoming episode 197, where we, of course, are going to go over Portland's own Tree Bomber and, of course, Cablegate and all the other massive things going on in the world of alternative news and open source intelligence. That's going to do it, my friends. As always, don't hate the media, become the media. Take care.
Rain began to fall, the night was dark. On a lady's veranda, I had to call. The lady says, "Mister, come inside.
How would you explain it? Combining music and stylized images.
Tall remote control.
Each one of those images was electronically based.
Say out on my threat.
And that concludes our program for tonight.
Yo. This could really catch on.
I can't remember when I've been so moved.